Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yo, what's up with y'all? What up? Remember Big Tick in the Basement? That's what I
wasn't ready for that.
What's good? What's good with it, son?
I used to love that show. Rap City was... I used to watch it when I came... Because I feel like that was...
What was better? Rap City or 106 Park?
They were different
I'm
things.
I'm saying, though, if you had to pick one,
they
what
were
was
different
better?
Rap City was rappers. 106 and Park was everybody. So,
I know what I'm saying. If you had to like, if BET said one has to go
I
out
refuse
here,
to submit to this kind of like competition.
Jackie
thing.
Is so difficult.
It's not difficult. That's like you asking me donuts or peach cobbler. I love them both.
I know you love them both, but
I can't make them go to war. I can't choose sides.
So if God came back and said, "I'm taking I'm either take peach cobbler or donuts away."
I don't think God would ever come back. And
I
distinct,
know. It's like, goodness.
He's going to separate the goats and the sheep, not donuts from cake or pie from ice cream. That's what
this
you're
is
doing.
This is the reason why our 8-9-year-old is so like she doesn't get sarcasms like. Actually, Dad, pigs don't fly. They don't have wings. They have legs. It's like, oh.
Well, we're not having a conversation about sarcasm.
I know.
You
I'm just saying, what I'm saying is she's
I have the I have the right to answer your question on my terms.
So you're not gonna say, what would you take away, 106 of Parker Rap City?
That's not what you asked me. You asked me which is better.
Which is better? I'm saying,
if somebody said, they both had their place.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Kim, you're behind the camera. You remember 106 in Park and Big Ticket Basement. If somebody gave you a choice, right? No, Kim. Put the Appleshot, put the camera on Kim. Put the camera on Kim. Because Jackie just she blowing me. Look, if somebody said you gotta take away one, 106 in Park or Big Ticket, well you had to. Which one would you take away? Which one you couldn't live with?
106 in Park is a classic.
So, okay. Thank you, Kim.
Not thank you. Oh, so you just want somebody to agree with you?
No, not agree. I'm just saying. I want it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, so you didn't like
not Bow
Terrence.
Wow and Terrence and Roxy.
Okay. I like Terrence and Roxy.
That stage was not a thing for me.
Wait.
And I was growing up.
Did y'all know, though, that AJ's dreads was fake the whole time?
No, they were not.
Yes, they were.
No, they were not.
They were fake.
Who
though.
Told you that?
I literally saw a video on TikTok of
I don't believe
behind
that.
The scenes. I'm finna pull it up right quick. I'm finna pull it up. That was a wig the whole time.
I don't
time.
Believe it.
I'm finna pull it up. We can pause this right quick.
I know fake locks when I see it.
Ooh, I said AJ 106 in Park, and the first thing that popped up was fake dreads.
What's your source? YouTube. What's your source?
No, seriously. It's not a source. It's a video.
That is.
He showed his process after every 106 in Park of him taking off his dreads.
I don't believe it. Because how do we know that was during the taping of 106 Park?
Because he like, on a longer video that I saw, he talked about how exhausting it was to take off his dreads after every single 106
yeah,
Park.
I had to confirm.
Look!
When I get up. Because that easily could be a misrepresentation where he actually had fake dreads after he cut his hair off. Let's be clear. That doesn't prove that was actually during the taping of 106 Park.
But
I don't think they are fake.
Do they look real right here? They look kind of real.
Do you see the edges, bro?
And that's
a Tyler Perry wig. That man already had real locks. Go look at that man. That man had real locks.
Okay. But he is a little chubby in this video.
Like, unless he said, y'all be watching a YouTube video just because they said it, you just go with it.
Hey man,
if it ain't come out,
that's what he said. He said he said in the video. He said it was exhausting. In that video? No. In the longer video, because that was a video of somebody just showing like a speed process, him taking it off. He said it was exhausting taking the dreads off after every 106 in Park. That's what he said.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so we're supposed to be talking about porn.
Oh my gosh.
That's what we're here for. We're not here for the wigs. We're here for the vids, you know? Tell us a little something. So we released a podcast. Our first podcast episode actually was about pornography. The recording of it is so raggedy. I wouldn't even want people to go back and listen to it. But
because we recorded in our closet.
No, in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah. It was in a hotel room.
It was a hotel room with a Yeti mic. And just nothing. And the Lord is so faithful to use our meager attempts at being, you know, podcasters and all the things. And then we did a video on YouTube repeating that story, but in a more beautiful way. And the story was basically, Preston was watching some porn. I found out about it on Eden's 5th birthday. It became like a whole thing, but it was really good for... Can I say it was good for our marriage?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think trials they refine a marriage. And so I don't want to say good, but I think it was a mountain that God used to teach us how to move others. And so the other day, what was this? A month or so ago, you was like, I haven't watched porn in 3 years.
Yeah, July 15th will be my third year anniversary of being, I feel like, free from pornography.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Man, it feels great, you know? It's just a testament to how much God is a keeper. Mm. He really is a keeper. And also, too, like, it's some sins that you find yourself falling in that you... In the moment, you feel like you're never going to be delivered from that thing. Mm-hmm. If you feel like it has so much of a hold on you that you can't let it go. And it wasn't until God allowed, you know, a lot of situations in my life to kind of just compile on top of one another, where I really felt almost at my wit's end to just give it to Jesus, you know. But it feels great. Even looking back, doing this podcast with you right now and knowing that that was our first podcast. How many years ago was that? Was that five? Mm-mm. Four?
Maybe four? I don't know. How many kids did we have?
I think we had two. One. Yeah. Two.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We got a lot of kids. But that was our first podcast, you know? And that was the first time I was comfortable enough talking about it to the public. But even since then, God has allowed me to go through so much, and he's done so much in our marriage. He's done so much in my individual walk with him. And it just feels good to look back at the time and say, man, like God, even then you were sanctifying me. You were cleaning me, mm-hmm. you know, and God didn't give up on me. Mm-hmm. You know, he was patient with me. And I think it's just a testament to know that if you really want to please the Lord and if you run to him for help, he'll help you and he'll sustain you.
I'm curious. Well, I can suspect that somebody would be curious about how have you been able to resist that temptation? Because it's not like the temptation went away. It's not like this is, you know, porn conversion therapy where you don't want to watch it anymore. So what happened?
I'm going to be real. I'm going to be just real. Because the first podcast, I was just real honest. My mama heard it. She was like, wow, that was a lot. The first podcast that we did about porn, I feel like God, in his kindness, showed me how much it affected you, showed me how much it hurt him. And I was broken that I sinned against God. I was broken that I sinned against my wife. But I still fell into porn after that.
Right.
Right? Which is the reason why it's a 3-year anniversary. And that was like 4 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I honestly think our first podcast was like 6 years ago.
6 years ago? It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
And so, you know, I wasn't a slave to it like I was. But I had some moments and that I slipped and I watched it or whatever. And it was like, I hope this makes sense, but after God dealt with my heart about how much it affected him and how much it affects my marriage, and I love him and I love you, I didn't really meditate on how much it was damaging to me.
So Preston, pornography is not an easy topic to talk about.
Nope.
It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but I think we have to talk about it because it's something that's affecting people.
Sure.
It's affecting marriages, it's affecting churches, it's affecting families, all the things.
Husbands, pastors.
Everybody. Yeah. And so that's why we want to talk about Covenant Eyes, which is a software program which Christians have been trusting for a long time to help people hold themselves accountable when it comes to pornography. I think you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think Covenant Eyes is a good app to use to hold you accountable. It also gives you the opportunity to invite other men and other women in it to do it with you, right? And so every time you're on your phone, it's a consistent reminder not to visit a app that dishonors God. And so I think it's just a good way of, one, inviting community to share this burden with trying to defeat porn. Because real accountability is not just people calling you out on your sin, but calling you up to the person of Christ.
Amen. So for the saints, anyone can get started on their path to recovery for free by visiting CovenantEyes.com and using the promo code PERRYS, P-E-R-R-Y-S, for 30 days for free, or by clicking on the link in the show notes today. That's CovenantEyes.com, and be sure to use the promo code PERRYS. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make sure that the door is closed so that the kids ain't like, what's porn, Dad? Make sure door is closed talking about porn. I'm texting our nanny because that would just my I heard them. I was like, oh yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Because you're really having a testimony service and I just keep interrupting you.
Yeah. So it's all good. I think at first, you know, I realized God made it like painfully obvious how much it grieved him and how much it affected you and my marriage. And because of that, I had really godly sorrow and I felt convicted. I mean, we remember the time. And if you've been rocking with this podcast a long time, I think you guys remember that time. But I don't think that I, even in that time, meditated on what it was doing to me personally. Mm. Like how much it was affecting my mind, how much it was affecting my heart. I think even when I released that first episode, it was like, man, porn destroys marriages. Porn, God hates it because it's the, you know, and all of this stuff. But like I hadn't, you know, and so I was, at that time, I was really focused on God and you and my family and not wanting to throw my marriage away because, you know, I can't get over this thing. But God had to make it personal, personable to me, right? And to be quite frank, God, over the course of a couple of years of just me falling back into it, he had to slap my wrist a couple of times to tell me, no, this thing is demonic. Mm. It is literally antichrist, right? You know, and I think that if we think about porn in that way, I'm discipling a young man who's been, you know, married not for a very long time. And, you know, he had a similar struggle. And I love how God uses the things that we go through. And then he sends the exact people in our lives to help walk them through certain things. Yeah. It's like, man, I've been there.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, he loves to do is he loves to study about how Jesus went to evil places and places where they did witchcraft. And he was so bold and so courageous and how evil these places are. And he talks about all of the witchcraft that's happening in Atlanta now. And it's like, bro, if you really pay attention to it, pornography is just as demonic as these places. It is just as evil. Mm. If God can unveil our spiritual eyes, our natural eyes, and allow us to see in the spirit, and we saw how many demons are behind pornography, we would run from it. Mm. It would not be appealing to us, right? And so I started to have, one, just very demonic dreams. You know what I'm saying? And I know some people feel weird about dreams, but, you know, I think God gives people dreams of just not, you know, I don't believe that God gives us anything that will add on to his revealed finished work of God. But I do believe that God gives personal revelation to people, you know, especially if he doesn't want us doing a particular thing. And I just begin to have these very dark dreams about like demons and just like evil when it comes to just sexual perversion.
Why do you say pornography itself is demonic?
Because it's, one, I believe that all perversion is linked to the devil, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that that's the devil's plan from the beginning to pervert what God has made, mm-hmm. right? And so, but it's also demonic because God created sex. Mm. He created marriage. He created a woman's body, right? And for us to engage in activity that completely goes against the nature, the design, and the character of God, but also mocks God, mm. right? Satan just doesn't want to, you know, we have to look at it like this, right? Satan wanted God's glory. Like he wanted to reign. Like he wanted to for people to worship him, right? And he lost that fight when Jesus defeated him, death, sin, and the devil in the grave or whatever. And so now we are God's living temple. Like our temple is how the world sees God. Right. And so if we are a representation of the God in heaven, his people, how much more does the enemy want to mock God's creation? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that God showed me is that, no, like, it's not just evil because it goes against the nature of God, but it's literally Satan mocking bodies and sex and marriages. It's like it's a slap in the face to God. And so I guess I'm trying to say, God just revealed to me that it's so evil. Mm. It's so demonic. Mm. And the devil delights in it. And so I didn't really see it that way. I didn't see it like every single time I'm engaging in this, it's like the devil laughing at me, like, look at what your creation is doing. Mm. Mm-hmm. Look at these beautiful bodies you created and you thought of before they was formed into their mother's womb. And look at him looking at a woman being degraded and being treated like trash. Mm-hmm. Like, and so we have to understand the demonic nature behind it all. And so, like, I think when we think about it like that, I think then we will see that porn is evil.
Yeah.
It's evil. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, for me, when I started to meditate and God started to show me that, it was like, no, it's more than just you making your wife mad or you making your wife feel uncomfortable or I don't like it and yada, yada, yada. It's like, no. You have to understand what it's doing to you. It is warping your mind. Mm-hmm. It is destroying your spirit. You're angry every single day. You're not a good father because you're ingesting demonic things. Mm. Right? Does it make sense?
When you would engage with pornography, did you see it as that deep? Even in the moment, you know what I mean? So for you to say you're angrier or your fatherhood is being affected by it, is that something that you saw in hindsight, or was that something that you were actively experiencing where you was like, I think this is messing with my brain or my soul?
No, I didn't, because one thing I learned about the enemy and God, they both, like, the enemy works how God works, but he just works in a perverted version of that. Oftentimes, God wants to impact us over a course of time. But the devil is patient too. And so what I realized is watching pornography, you know, over a course of time, I started to see that, you know, I wasn't affectionate for the things of God no more. Mm. I wasn't as patient with you when it came to our sex life. I wasn't as patient with my kids. Right? Because I think what porn does, porn wants us and expects us to have right now results, right? It gives us a false version of how God is even wants us to interact with human beings. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times when men watch porn, they see men who don't have to have patience, who don't have to be long suffering, who don't have to treat a woman with dignity and respect and honor, a woman who doesn't say no to them, right? And so it started to affect my relationships, because I think porn, it does a lot of things, but I think it unknowingly gives you a self of entitlement. It's like, man, if I'm watching an activity of men who are not being rejected at all and having women, to be quite frank, be used as doormats, I unconsciously bring that into my relationship with my wife. Mm. unconsciously. And so like it is more, it is psychologically, we have to understand that the enemy just doesn't want us to be freaks. Mm. He wants to psychologically like affect the way we interact with other humans. Mm. And when you see a human not being, pornography is not even human.
Yeah.
It is inhumane.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like it's so demonic, right? Because the enemy wants to affect many relationships using it. It's so demonic.
I think something you said earlier and that I also keep hearing is how like there's some pornography degrades the female body.
Mm-hmm.
But it also degrades the male body.
Yeah.
Because we were in Vegas the other day and we saw an exchange that looked like a prostitute got out of somebody's car and there was like, you know, a transaction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think you said something about her, like something about her, like, man, I hope she realizes that she's worth it and some. And I was like, I hope he does too.
Yeah.
Because I do think that we as a culture and as a society, and rightfully so, have put a lot of energy into making sure that young girls and women know that they are worthy of honor, mm-hmm. and worthy of dignity. But I don't know how much intentionality that we've put into teaching boys and men that your body is worthy of honor too.
Yeah.
Because you also degrade yourself. So yeah. It isn't just I'm degrading this woman, I'm also degrading me.
Yeah.
And I think that's one way you're saying it's like, I am actively being affected by this participation.
Yeah. And I think that for a lot of men, it probably doesn't feel like a degrading of the body because pornography teaches a lot of men that we should have a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman is just there to do everything we want her to do. But it is God create, like anytime you operate outside how God created you, your body is being misused.
Mm.
You are being misused.
That's deep.
Even if you're the one who's doing it. Right.
Yeah.
And so like if we were created for God and God created us for his glory, and this is the reason why sleeping with multiple women will never satisfy us. Because it is also, you know, and so like I say this all the time, but people always ask me, you know, how is it being married to a woman that used to be gay? You know, and we've talked about this. I think we said it on the podcast at least two times, but nobody says like, Jackie, how is it being married to a man that used to sleep with a bunch of women,
mm-hmm.
or watch porn? And we have to understand.
A harlot.
Right.
Is harlot feminine?
I don't know. But we have to understand that pornography is also a form of perversion. It's perversion.
Yes, it is.
Right? And it's also not natural.
Yes.
It is literally not natural for men to sleep with multiple women.
What if, so there's a lot of content online that says that monogamy is like a construct, right? And that like it actually is natural for the man to one have sex, but also have sex with as many women as he would like. Like, what is your defense?
So one, just biblically, right? We see that being eliminated when we see creation, right? God created one man, right? Adam, and he took Eve from Adam's rib, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply, right? And so he put them in a garden, told them to guard it, yada yada yada. And we see that he established marriage from the beginning: one man, one woman. And one, he says it in the New Testament that a man should leave his mother and father and cling to one woman, right?
Ephesians 5,
mm-hmm. right? Even the qualifications of an elder is that he should be able to be the head of one wife, right? Mm-hmm. Not multiple wives. And so consistently over and over in the scriptures, we see that marriage is designed for one man and one woman. But also too, that God just doesn't give us rules and he doesn't reveal the practicality of those rules, right? And the logic behind those rules, because if we look at just society and baby mamas and how, you know, having multiple women and having kids with those multiple women, and you know, and how much heartbreak and disease and all of this stuff comes from it. We see that that's not God's design. Mm. Not only that, I think I said this before, I can't remember, but my cousin who's a chemical lab scientist, she literally says that every single day the most common disease is for people who don't, like, I don't mean to be nasty, but she has to like look at the liquids in people's vaginas, penises. She looks at feces and all of that stuff. And she says this common disease that women get, and it's not any sexual transmitted disease. It is a common disease that they get from having multiple sex partners. And I said, why is this common disease? It's not chlamydia, nothing. She was like, no. She was like, the body was not made to have multiple sex partners. It was made to have one. And so I don't know the phrase or the name of the actual bacteria that forms inside of a woman when she has multiple sex partners, and even a man that we have multiple sex partners. But I believe that we were created to be with one woman. We would not create it. And so I think this is the reason why there are so many broken families, so many broken homes, so many people with fatherless, you know, homes, because we are operating outside of the way God created us to operate. And so, you know, I do think that God's design is the best design, you know, and I think that porn just emphasizes this fact and know that if we're a man, we can go out and sleep and have many sex partners as we want. But it's like, that's why disease is rampant. That's why broken homes are such a thing. That's why kids grow up not knowing who they are, because they don't really know who their father is, because his time is stretched with so many different kids and so many different, you know, things. And so I really think that God's way is proven to be the best way.
I just wanted to read something briefly just about the dignity of the body as it relates to sexual immorality, which is 1 Corinthians 6.
God cares for the body, that one.
Yeah, and like the Lord has a purpose for the body. Like he's designed it for a reason. And it says, verse 13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? I'm going to fast forward. So verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple, a church, a cathedral of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I think for a long time when I would read this text as related to like homosexuality and stuff like that, I would read it negatively.
Yeah.
Like the body is meant for the Lord, not meant for sexual immorality. And that's true. You could read it with that kind of emphasis. But I started to read it differently, where I was like, oh man, God is saying that this body is so valuable to him that he's actually going to resurrect it one day. Like, we're not going to enter into New Jerusalem or the new heavens and the earth disembodied. We're not going to just be spirits floating around. Yeah. But God gave us a body, and God is going to resurrect this body, and God is going to glorify this body. And on earth, this body is a temple, a church, a building with the Holy Spirit. Like, so God cares about the body, and he wants us to share that same concern.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
You know? So I think when you say, you know, what it was doing to you as a individual with a, because your mind is a part of your body.
Yeah.
Your eyes are a part of your body.
Yeah, it's all, we're all, it's, everything is interconnected. Like what affects us mentally will affect us physically, will affect us emotionally, will affect us spiritually. And that's one thing that I had to learn, that man, like the way I'm starting to see relationships, the way I'm starting to see God, the way, like, it affects everything. And so, like, if I'm ingesting something that is completely unnatural, completely outside of the way God is has designed it, like, this, my mind started to become warped and I couldn't think right. And it's crazy that when I felt like God broke that thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a, maybe in a later podcast, I'll talk about more in depth, you know, and you know, some of the things that God allowed to happen and be like, man, this is crazy. Like when I felt like God kind of freed me from some things by showing me myself, showing me my neediness, I felt like my mind felt clear. Mm-hmm. I felt lighter. And what that showed me was like I was in bondage and I didn't even know that I was in bondage. Mm. Like you can be in chains for so long that you forget what freedom feels like.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel lighter with my children. Yeah. I feel more free with my wife or whatever. And another thing is, I think pornography, especially in marriage, wants us to slowly but surely build up this level of discontentment. Doesn't want us content with our wives, with our spouses, and vice versa. Not just with women, but don't want women to be content with their husbands. And so I was going to talk about my relationships, not even realizing why I was irritated at times. It's because I'm watching something. I'm vicariously living through men who are operating in this perverted version of intimacy.
Right.
And I can't even enjoy real intimacy with the one God gave me.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was just overall just kind of like warping my mind.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So, with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yeah.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
And we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie, 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour. We might have said this before, but I feel like this might be helpful. What will you say to the people who said, I understand what you're saying, but this is actually keeping me from adultery? Like watching this is keeping me from cheating on my wife.
I'll say it is adultery.
Okay.
You're not being an adulterous person because you're not sleeping with a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman with lust. This is the reason why it says in the Bible that if you look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it is unfaithfulness,
mm-hmm.
right? To lust after things in that way that you know that's not your spouse, right? And so it is, you know, is it as damaging as going out and sleeping with a physical woman? Would it hurt most women more if you actually did that? Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Right.
But one, I think that we have to look at it just because our wife might not see it as adultery, we shouldn't think about our wives, we should think about the Lord.
Mm.
That should be our primary thing. And God says in his eyes, you're committing adultery.
Mm.
So that's one. Secondly, I think that you have to understand what it does to you, like what we were just talking about. Mm. Because if, like, My thing was, even after we did the podcast, the reason why I fell back into it, and you didn't catch me, I confessed it, and I told you, right, is that the reason why I fell back into it is because I hadn't meditated on how much, no, Preston, God cares. But that scripture you just read, I love that scripture. I put it in my poem, Necrophiliac. Like, I had to realize that God cared about me, right? Mm. God cares about you. Mm. Like, he loves you. Mm. You're worth it. You're more than pornography, right? You're getting something, a cheap version of what you can really experience in Christ. You're experiencing a perverted version of what God want to give you in your prayer closet. And that's what I had to realize. It's like, man, when I started to get up every single morning and pray with the Lord, it's like, no, this is what I've been longing for.
Wow.
I was longing for intimacy.
Wow.
I'm getting emotional. Yeah, I was longing for intimacy. Mm. I was longing to be filled, you know? And so more than, like, I won't say more, it hurt the Lord. It hurt you. But I didn't even meditate on how much it was affecting me. And God had to show me, no, I care how much you're being affected.
Wow.
I care how much you're being like torn down, and how much you're, and how much you're not being able to be a father to Eden in autumn, and how much you're not. I gave you a marriage to enjoy, and pornography is in the way of that. Mm. I want you to experience the fullness of life. But you're so impatient with sanctification. You're running to a cheap carbon copy that's actually destroying you and all the blessings that I gave you. And so, like, I had to realize that what I was actually searching for was at my feet the whole time.
Wow.
So I think that's what we have to understand. When we commit adultery with pornography, we actually cheat on ourselves. Before we cheat on somebody else.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, we cheat ourselves out of life and out of peace and out of real joy.
I don't know what else to say.
All right, peace.
No, we're not done.
Oh, okay. I thought we was going to...
You got emotional. It was like, yeah, I'm done. No, yeah. I don't want to...
But it didn't fall.
No, I saw that. You was holding on.
Yeah, I'm a G.
No, you was right. Keeping them tears up
there. I
didn't
even have to do this. I said, go back in. No. I punked my tear. Y'all didn't hear it, but I punked my tear. But if you come on, I'll knock you out if you fall in front of all these people. I don't know these people on YouTube crying in front of them.
That was sweet, though. Huh? We needed to see that. I got a little emotional.
You did?
Yeah, because I think that perspective is so helpful. It's just such a different thing for somebody to say, stop watching porn, stop sinning, stop doing this. That, like, that has its usefulness. Like, there are imperatives in scripture, right? Don't do this.
Yeah.
But I think the motivation is, don't do this because God loves you and he wants more for you. And something that I kind of heard underneath everything is that I was thinking about how the Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's a fighter for his people. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense in which the Lord is fighting for you in the way that he's trying to sanctify you. Because it's like, he's like, nah, if you're mine, Satan can't have you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, if that's the case, then I'ma even fight by, like, convicting you or stirring you up or giving you situations where you can be free from this thing. Mm-hmm. And like, that's like that, like, I feel like that's an extension of his protection.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because because God is such, he's a father, right? And he's a friend. And and so, like, a real friend wouldn't allow their friend to indulge in something that like, even if, like, I'll look at it like this, like, I had some family members or whatever that I knew, like, the person that they was with was using them. They were so infatuated with this person, but because I loved them, like, no.
He
using you, sis. He don't love you, right? You're going to end up being heartbroken. And I think God does that a lot with the vices that we run to. Mm. It is not him just being some God in heaven who's just trying to be a bossy, like, I don't like it, so I don't want you to do it. Mm. No, God is like, no, I don't want you to do it because it's destroying you. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how much you're decaying on the inside, but it's this, and I'm here to preserve you.
Yeah.
And so I love God because he's such a loving God in that way, that we will sin against him and he still will fight to show us how much, not he's showing us, not, it's not only offensive to him, right? That's the primary thing, but it's offensive to him because he created us for himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves us. He cares about us. And so I really had to, like, realize that. And so when I started to realize that, I was like, you know, porn, it's just not worth it. Mm. And so now I want to encourage men, right, to know how I feel about porn now, right? And to know that you can feel this way too. Because when God first tapped me on the wrist with porn, I had to fight, right, to not watch it, right? I would just fall into it, I'll repent. And I know a lot of men who listen to this podcast probably say, man, I fell into it and I have to go back and repent. But if you consistently submit that thing and give that thing to the Lord, God will show you how disgusting it is, mm-hmm. right? And I think that when we realize how much something is, when we truly realize how something is, how offensive something is to a holy and righteous God, now porn for me, it's so unattractive. Mm. I don't want to be arrogant and say for the rest of my life, I won't be tempted right. to ever type in something on my phone.
Right.
But for me, it is literally almost like it is the definition of returning to vomit because I see it as that demonic.
Mm.
And that was over a course of years of God revealing to me, no, this thing is dangerous to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is disgusting. Mm. It is decaying you from the inside out. And so like, I now I see it in that way. And so I think that if you really want to be set free from porn, I think a good prayer is for you to ask the Lord, God, show me how much this is damaging me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Truly reveal to me how much this thing is killing me.
Mm.
Right? How much the enemy is trying to kill not just me, but generations.
Ooh.
He wants to not just affect me, but he wants to affect my son and my son's son and my daughters and my daughter's daughters, right? He wants to affect the way I father so my kids will father in trash ways. Mm. Like he wants to, like when you invite something so unclean, and so demonic
mm-hmm.
and so perverted into your life, you have to understand the devil is playing for keeps.
Yeah.
Right? But what you experience on the surface is never what you what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so much spiritual implications of what like we have to understand that if inviting God's purity and his righteousness and his holiness when we worship him, right, does something to our spirit. Does something to our mind, does something to our whole being. Inviting something that is anti-God into us does the opposite in the spirit. Mm-hmm. We have to understand, we have to look at it as that deep.
Yes, it's spiritual warfare.
Right? And so you just got like your 10-minute fix when your wife went to the grocery store because you watched porn and you don't even know all of the spiritual implications that the devil just, right? When I started to meditate on that,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you want to destroy my son.
Yeah.
You want to impact even the way I see humans so I can't be an effective father, effective a husband, right? Like the enemy is playing for keeps. Mm. Let go of that thing. Mm. Let it go. It is not worth it. It ain't worth it.
Yeah.
And so when I think about porn, I cannot think about the porn without thinking about all that first. And so I think that God, if we want help, God opens our minds to allow us to see things in the way he sees it
yeah.
more and more.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the reason why I've been able to just say no to it for 3 years. And I want to just let people know, like, you know, doesn't mean I'm perfect. Because when the enemy takes things, well, when God takes some things out of your life, the enemy real good at offering some new idols.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a fact.
But we got to fight.
Yeah.
We got to fight.
Would you mind praying for people listening who are struggling, wrestling, and just feel they hear you, but they might not have faith to believe yet that, like, I can actually be free from this? So With the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like all of it.
Beautiful. You know,
and we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheparis.com/tour.
Yeah, I want to just say this before, you know, I pray. There's some sins that we indulge in and that we commit that makes us feel really condemned. And the reason why is because there are some things like pornography, homosexuality, that it's embarrassing to confess those things. And so, especially if it has a hold on you, you know, it becomes harder to confess those things because you're embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
So you can't run to it, yada, yada, yada. And so it's easy, right? And so when you became aware of how much that thing had a hold on me, it became easier because I had an accountability partner that lived with me, right? And a lot of people just don't have that. And so I think the first temptation is to run to shame, right? But I love what Hebrews 4:14 says. It says that seeing now that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of Man, who has passed through the heavens, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who was tempted in every aspect, just as we are, yet without sin. It says, therefore, come to the throne of grace with confidence that we might find grace and help in our time of need. And when I confessed, when the Lord laid it on my heart to make that be our first podcast, like six years ago, whenever it was, I immediately felt shame, right? I immediately felt like this self-condemnation. But God had to remind me that because he's a God who just didn't sit up on his throne and watch us sin our whole life, but he's one who condescended and became a man, right? And he can empathize with my weakness. And so I want people to know that, man, maybe you're struggling with porn and you don't have anybody to run to. And maybe you think that God is just tired of you. You know, man, God is not tired of you. God is not just some God who, like I said, who sat up on his throne and watched you sin your whole life, but he's a God who became human like you. And so because he became human like you, there is unlimited grace for you at his throne. And so I say that because pornography, a lot of times, can become this repetitive sin. And we feel guilty every single time we watch it. Guess what? God will never say, it's you again. Mm-hmm. He will never say that. He will always welcome you back. And that's one thing that I had. And I want to say this because that's one way the enemy be getting people. He wants you to get tired of running to the throne. God ain't never going to be tired of you running to the throne. He's always going to accept you. And so never get tired of running to God's throne because, like I said, he became human like you so he can empathize with you.
Yeah.
Right? The second thing is, it says in that passage, he was without sin. So though he was human, he knows what it feels like and he knows what it means to be perfect. And so that he can help you. And so this is the reason why at the end of the verse it says you can find grace and help there. Right? And so run to Jesus. Do not run to shame. Don't run to self-condemnation. But keep running to Jesus. And if you keep running to him, over time, he will help you more and more and more. And so that's my testimony. I'm not strong within myself. I didn't stop running to Jesus.
Yeah.
He helped me.
Yeah.
Right? And so I want to encourage people with that. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, for this podcast. There's so many men and women who struggle with pornography, who struggle with reading things that's not pure, even looking at sensual things that's not pure, that's affecting their relationship with you, their relationship with their spouse, their relationship with their loved ones. And it's also affecting them. And so, God, I just pray, Father, that you and your kindness will remind them that you are a present help in their time of trouble, that you will never get tired of them running to you. I pray, God, that you will consistently convict us of sin in righteousness, Lord. I pray, God, for the person who is in bondage. I pray, God, that you will send someone, people in their life that they can talk to and confess sin to. I pray, God, that you will use this podcast, but also after this podcast is over, that you will reveal to your creation how much porn affects you and affects the heart of God and affects us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would show us your heart for us, and that we would choose righteousness and holiness and real peace and real joy over the things that gives us temporary satisfaction. I pray, God, that you will give us help, God, that you will send a present help, God, for the people who are currently struggling with this. I pray, God, that you will deliver marriages, God, the marriages that's listening to this podcast. I pray, God, that you will encourage them and that you will strengthen them, that you won't allow wives who have husbands who struggle with this to take it personal, even though it is offensive and even though it is hurtful, but they will see it as a spiritual fight and not that they're not good enough, that they're not women enough, that they're not more than enough for their husband, and even vice versa. I pray, God, that you would destroy the lies that pornography creates in relationships, and that we will all see you for who you are, and in seeing you and who you are, we will see ourselves for who we are. I ask you to see. Peace.
You did that.
With the Pairs is produced by the Pairs with support from Amanda Reed and Channing McBride. Video recording and audio production by Kim Powell, Abishai Perez, and Xavier Fairley. Edited by the team at Tread Lively. Artwork by Hop and music by Sweet. Thank you for listening. Now go with God.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.